are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is...
Mac Lacey. This is our Chapter 15 voicemail hotline episode, so we're going to be... hearing your thoughts and your theories about everything Chapter 15 and what awaits us in Chapter 16 as we finish out the series.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe the season finale of The Mandalorian Season 2 is this week.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's both felt like a year that we've been in this season, and it's been, you know, two hours. So
Frog Lady was just a few weeks ago in my mind, and also 3 years ago.
Right.
Yep.
Wow. For sure. So who are we, Alex?
So we're the number one podcast for The Mandalorian, the hit Disney Plus TV show. And if you are listening and this is your first time listening, go back and listen to all of our breakdowns that we did for season one and season two of The Mandalorian. We do a scene by scene breakdown and we give you expert analysis and our thoughts and our theories as we go through that. But then this episode is our voicemail hotline episode where we get to listen to the listeners tell us what they thought about the episode and also where they think it might go. And it creates a lot of fun conversation. So if this is your first time listening, make sure you tune in and go ahead and hit subscribe on your podcast feed so you don't miss our scene by scene breakdown for the season finale. And so we can't wait for that.
And there's going to be tons to talk about, obviously, so you'll want to make sure you're around for all of that.
Yeah. But you can also continue the conversation with us over on our social media accounts at TheMandoWatch on Twitter, at TheMandalorianWatch on Instagram. And we actually made it to 1,000 reviews.
Yeah, that's a huge milestone. Thank y'all.
Apple Podcasts, which is, I mean, I cannot thank you guys enough, those who are listening. Thank you so much for sending us over the edge of 1,000. It would be really cool. I mean, I know we've got, what, like 2 days now by the time this is out to get to 1,100. We're almost there. We're 50 away.
All right. Well, make me eat those words. So, well, thank y'all for showing us the support in that way. That's a cool, huge milestone for us. So thank y'all again. Thank y'all again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
I think we should just get into the voicemails.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hey, guys. This is Hunter calling, and thanks for what y'all do. Love the show. Wanted to just share two ideas with y'all. I've been listening to every episode, but I admit I've never listened to all of the hotline episodes, so forgive me if this is redundant. To me, I feel like it's clear that what Moff is up to with Dr. Pershing and needing the midichlorian blood donor in Grogu is he is working on cloning or reviving Emperor Palpatine. And I feel like that's what he's up to. So what are y'all's thoughts on that? And also in regards to just what Grogu is species-wise and what Yoda and Yaddle, I guess, are, is – has anyone ever considered that maybe they are a race called Jedi? So since the Sith were also a race of a species of people, aliens, whatever you want to call it, that then their practices and force-wielding abilities were adopted by other people. And likewise for Mandalorians, being foundlings of multiple different species, what if Yoda, Grogu are a species or what's left of a species that are the original Jedi? And I don't know how else to say that. What are y'all's thoughts? Thanks for what y'all are doing. See ya. Bye.
Hunter, thank you so much for your voicemail. I really love both of your thoughts. Let's start with the first one, though. Dr. Pershing, is he using the midichlorian count from Grogu in an attempt to help revive Emperor Palpatine out in the unknown regions for his big Rise of Skywalker debut?
Maybe there's something where, like, in order to create a body as like attuned with the Force as Palpatine's was, you have to have like special, you know, genetic donor material to start with or something like that.
I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
In Star Wars.
Yeah. It'd be a great way to just tie, you know, the series in with the broader story of Star Wars too, you know, in a way that's just kind of incidental. So it's, you know, not forcing anything, but yeah, I like it.
I tend to think Palpatine has already been trying to clone himself as like already
while he's
like
alive.
Yeah. Like he's that plan has already been in motion. And what I think they're attempting to do, if anything, besides give Moff Gideon Force powers or somebody else Force powers, I think what will eventually happen is they create Snoke from it. I think that's a little more likely than Palpatine. I feel like Palpatine, Snoke is just a puppet of Palpatine's. So I feel like they're trying to create something along those lines, if it's not going to Gideon or the Dark Troopers or something like that. That's kind of where I stand on that. And then the second point, Jedi grow. Oh, well, wait a second. Before we get to the second point.
Okay.
There was a really good theory in terms of cloning, all of that, that I saw on Twitter yesterday. And I retweeted this, that it's very possible. What if Dr. Pershing's on Kamino and Boba Fett ends up on Kamino where he was born?
Yeah.
In the season finale.
And has to deal with the whole going home thing.
What do you think about that? That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I mean, that could make sense.
Yeah, I mean, for Boba's story, it makes sense narratively. We'll see. I mean, I think that's definitely a possibility. And then now, going to Grogu, Yoda, Yaddle, being maybe a species called the Jedi. What do you think about that, Matt?
Yeah, I definitely like that. In the old EU, you know, before the new canon that we've got, the term Sith actually used to refer to a species. Mm-hmm. That, I'm just kind of clarifying, you know, some of the stuff Hunter brought up, but and then you know, Dark Jedi kind of adopted the name as they kind of appropriated Sith culture. It could be kind of the same way. It could have worked the same way for the light side stuff.
Absolutely. And like, we don't actually know the official story of Sith now in the new canon. That could be changed by now when they decide to tell that story. But until then, that's kind of what we're going to stick with. I tend to lean toward, and I really like this idea, but I tend to lean towards Yoda's species being the Wills.
Yeah. I like the Wills better because it makes they're even more mystical. They transcend the Jedi stuff a little bit.
Right. But then you have to take into consideration that whole Yoda arc from the Clone Wars where he meets those really strange Force beings. You remember that? Like, maybe those are the Wills too.
Are the Wills. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. But I really like that idea, Hunter. I like that you're thinking outside the box. Because then it's like the answer to Grogu is both. It's like the Jedi is both the Jedi, like we know, but also his species too. So I like that.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Well, thanks so much for your call, Hunter. You ready for the next one?
Let's do it.
How y'all doing, Mando Watch? I'm from Massachusetts calling in. Quick question or kind of theory with the last episode with Mando and how he took off his helmet and how come that reader scanned his face and he was clear? I'm not, you know, I don't know, maybe I misheard or like didn't listen too well on the episode why I would scan it, but is there a reason that, you know, his thing didn't fail? You know, I know no one knows what he looks like because he always has a helmet on, but you know, is there a reason that he was cleared and he got access to it? You know, is there like a history there with, you know, the Empire and whatnot? And then the also thing with Finnick, you know, I definitely agree that there's something going on. You know, she's definitely on edge, you know, this whole time, and I hope, you know, she doesn't do anything to betray Mando and Boba Fett, you know, there's a sticky situation with them. So let me know what you guys think. Appreciate it. Love the podcast. And have a good one. Keep the watch.
Unnamed child of the watch from Massachusetts. Thank you so much for giving us your call. All right, so the question at hand is the whole terminal thing.
I picked this specifically so we could talk about it.
Yeah, this is a big deal. So far, this has been resolved in my mind through suspension of disbelief and
right.
from the explanation of plot.
Yeah, I mean,
so, but I absolutely understand this question because it doesn't, on the outset, make a lot of sense.
I'm going to attempt to explain it.
All right.
And part of this is help because I listened to another podcast. Still Wars does a Mandalorian roundtable, and I was listening to them over the weekend, and they talked about this very same thing. So a lot of the thoughts that are coming from this come from that. But basically, the idea is it needs to know that you're not a droid, right?
Yeah.
You're also not an enemy of the Empire. Because at this point right now, this is coming from me. I believe that the Empire is in such desperate times, almost like the Rebellion. We kind of talked about that. Like, they're willing to take anybody if you're not like a known Republic soldier. I mean, maybe even right. then, but like, they'll take anybody who's alive and breathing, who's not an enemy of theirs. And so, number one, to make sure you're not a droid, like, but then also to see, like, who you are.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, like, it would be very difficult to update. Like, when you get a new recruit, it would be very difficult to update that information, you know, Imperial Remnant-wide, you know, especially when you're kind of all fractured and cut off from each other. And so it's probably easier just to be like, if you search for anything that would, you know, come up as a red flag, not necessarily confirming an identity.
And because they're leeching off the New Republic systems too, it's like, right. I don't think it's going to like, it's not going to work like we normally would in terms of like, it's scanning to see who you are, so that way to like protect. It's not like that in the sense of like, it's just trying to make sure you're not an enemy of the Empire and you're not a droid. But I also think there's, besides plot, I think that's the number one reason.
I mean, plot is of course the number one explanation, and then everything else is just a workaround. Yeah,
what we're doing right now is what Star Wars fans love to do, is just explain right. things away. So
it's a grand tradition.
Yeah. So, another thing, though, is that it could be potential setup in the future. Now they have a scan of his face.
Yeah.
That's something to consider, that the Empire now knows what he looks like, too. So that's if it captured his image.
Yeah. They can maybe cross, you know, de-age it, find out kind of where he came from, maybe get some dirt on him or something like
right,
that.
Right, because the data stick, when he put that in the terminal, that's what activated the terminal. It wasn't right. this face scan. The face scan was just to see who he was and if he was human, like a living yeah. being, not a robot.
Yeah.
A droid. Sorry. Droid.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've explained that away.
Yeah. Right? I think so. So, okay. He's also worried about Fennec. I trust Boba at this point. I absolutely trust For Boba. Sure. If he makes a turn, that will be such a gut punch to me.
And maybe that's the best thing to happen.
Yeah.
But
I think the best thing to happen for Fennec, though, her character, is if she does turn. Because right now she's kind of bland. If she turns, it's like, ooh, Fennec. Right.
Yeah. Now she's the kind of the reviled character.
Yeah. I like that. Yep.
I like it too. I think we'll see that. I think they pretty firmly set that up last episode.
We'll see. I mean, I would be shocked if she didn't at this point.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Let's do another
one. All right.
Hi, this is Brody in Iowa. First up, where can I get more carpool kit stuff? Listen to those two songs. They're pretty sweet. Anyway, want to know more about that. And also, okay. So I get it that, like, the Darksaber, you know, like, Din is going to fight, you know, Moff Gideon and all that. And I get that. Like, but we got to see Bo-Katan again, right? Because I know that there's, like, talk that, you know, she might be, you know, more connected to other things and that it would be weird that she would just coincidentally show up. But, like, she has to show up because she's too tied into the, like, that's her only connection to the show is the Darksaber, like, wanting the Darksaber and showing Moff Gideon. So I don't know. Like, I know there was a little bit of doubt on that. And then all in all, like, I know you mentioned, like, you know, Boba Fett possibly dying and stuff, and then I think that would be a good wrap-up, but at the same time, you know, like, you know, we talked about, like, you guys talked about how last season it was, you know, you don't want, like, a remake of the last season with kind of a super team at the end there fighting, but wouldn't that kind of be the same thing if, like, Boba Fett comes in kind of as a heel character and then changes to good, kind of like, you know, the droid did in the first season, and then dying, I mean, it'd be kind of the same thing, so, I don't know. I feel like we have to see Bo-Katan. Like, it's so weird to me. Like, I understand Ahsoka being, like, a one-off character to set up the series, but, like, I want to see a shot of Bo-Katan, Din, and Boba Fett all in their armor, like, fighting. I don't know. I just think that'd be awesome. So, anyway, love the podcast. Think you guys are great. And, yeah. So, looking forward to the next episode.
Brody, thank you so much for your voicemail. The Darksaber is what connects Bo-Katan to the show. So I ran a poll a little bit earlier today on Twitter about who would be most likely to show up in the season finale. So I'm going to go to that right now and just bring up the results. So I said, who do you think could make an appearance in the season finale? And I listed Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, Thrawn, and then I also said someone else, comment below. So right now we've got about 260 votes, and Ahsoka is at 10%, Bo-Katan is at 45%, Thrawn at 32%, and then someone else at 13%.
Yeah, I think I'm just about right there. I'm kind of agreeing with the majority as well. I think if Bo-Katan is for sure the most likely, and I'm actually leaning more and more towards getting her in this next episode.
I just hope she brings along her crew.
Axe Wolves.
Yes. He's so cool.
Yeah.
Koska Reeves.
Yep. She's great too. Yeah, no, like, but I just more and more, like, but to start with, I didn't think she was coming back at all. I thought, okay, we saw her, you know, maybe we'll get her back in season three. I didn't, but now it actually would make more and more sense, I think. It's amazing what that little bit of kind of character development and playing with some of the internal struggles from last episode did.
Yeah.
So I think that actually opens up more doors for, like, Bo-Katan to come back.
Here's what would be even more interesting is if there was somehow a situation where Bo-Katan and Din are a little at odds, even though they're trying to, like, yeah, Moff Gideon's the bad guy, but there's a situation where Bo-Katan wants something to happen and Din wants something to happen, and, like, those two can't meet, like, no, that's not gonna work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that would be super interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know.
Just with her representing the Mandalorian mainstream, and now that we know that Din is outside of that and is kind of having to come to terms with the fact that that whole other side of things exists, you know?
I mean,
like, I just,
I almost put on the poll the armor, because we haven't seen her at all this season, except in the little setup stuff. So
I do miss her. I think her presence is missed.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Din's covert might come through instead of Bo-Katan. That's a real possibility too. But I don't know. I still feel Thrawn. Like, I know, like, a lot of people have been saying, well, obviously now that's a good setup for the spinoff Ahsoka show that is absolutely coming. Like, they announced that.
Right.
But you can still tease him and not have him actually be in the show too. Like, yeah, he can, because, like, what they're working up towards in Rangers of the New Republic, Ahsoka and The Mandalorian is one big climactic event, you can go ahead and start setting that up by showing him, and he doesn't actually have to be like a season regular next season.
Right.
So
I just see, I see red eyes reflected in a Star Destroyer viewport.
Oof.
I just sense that so strongly.
Now, here's another possibility. And I think we all agree Ahsoka seems the least likely.
Yeah.
Another possibility, of course, is like what some people are really, really hoping for is Luke Skywalker or another Jedi. But what is also maybe just as likely as Bo-Katan is nobody. None of those people show up.
Right. And we got to all be prepared for that.
Yep.
Because that's a very, very big possibility.
Yeah. Like, don't get your hopes up that Thrawn is going to show up. Like, I am hopeful that Bo-Katan shows up, but she already has. So it's not like I'm going to be upset if she doesn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think the main thing is, like, don't get your hopes up for Thrawn or Luke, because that might not happen.
Right.
You know, so that's just something to be aware of going into the finale. And as we, as we're kind of talking about the finale, I do have a question. Who do you think is directing this one?
My gut feeling says John.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So John Favreau, just cause, I don't know. It just feels like, cause didn't he do the first one?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So I think it kind of feels right for him to do this one, tie it all back up.
Yeah, I'm going to say either John or Dave.
Yeah, I agree. And because I think, like, whatever happens this next episode is going to have ramifications for a lot of things going forward.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be this show or all these spinoff shows or, you know. So,
yes,
it's going to be something that they're going to want probably a more hands-on approach, you know, towards.
And that's why I'm kind of still, like, on the Thrawn train right now, is because I feel like, now that those shows have been announced, and I feel like they announced them before the finale almost kind of for a reason too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now we know that something big is going to happen. You can start setting that up.
Right. Yeah. And it would be smart to do so.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely.
Cool, cool.
Thanks, Brody.
Hi, guys. This is Heather and I have a theory about Thrawn and what he might be up to during this time that, you know, it could be anything. So back at the beginning of the season, I thought, what if he was Moff Gideon's boss? Like you guys had said, that Moffs always report to somebody. So a Grand Admiral or former Grand Admiral sounds totally feasible. I was thinking that maybe, you know, we know that Thrawn dislikes the Force probably because he doesn't understand it. But what if his experience with Bindu and the Purrgils and seeing Ezra's connection to the Purrgils has made him realize that this is something formidable enough that if he can't understand it, maybe he could control it by creating some anti-Force tech or like bioengineering, some sort of beast that can cancel out the Force, like the Ys Elemiri from the EU, only, you know, something he can control. Using Grogu's blood with the high end count, you would be able to know, you know, what kind of potency you need to engineer that at, and then be able to turn it around and test it on that same subject. I'm hoping that we get just like a little taste of Thrawn, maybe at the end of Mando, like a door closing as the captain of one of his ships is delivering a message. And we just hear him say thank you. And maybe we see some artwork around him. We just see like the back of his head, or it's a shadow, so that we can all theorize whose voice we just heard and what that artwork was, and to give us a little clue. Thank you guys for the online community that you've built, and makes me happy to know that it doesn't have to end when this season is over. Keep the watch.
Heather M, thank you so much for calling in. We've heard a lot from you on the Discord and everything. And this was a great voicemail.
I went oof during it because there were some great things in it.
I was watching Alex on this FaceTime call as we were listening to it. And he was just like nodding his head so violently that his whole webcam was shaking and stuff. So, yeah, you can rest assured we're on board.
Yeah, I actually I was about to say, does she of course she knows about the Yus Silmari, which are, again, that's expanded universe in the original trilogy of books that Thrawn was in when it came out in 1990. There's basically this little salamander creature that he found on a planet that if you put enough around you, the force won't like affect you, because on this planet, these creatures are hunted by another beast that use the force to hunt. So like in response to that, they kind of use the force to like
nullify
the force in a way. So Thrawn found that out and he used that against Luke Skywalker and Leia and stuff. And I absolutely, and I'm in love with that idea. If Thrawn is a major power player, which it seems like he's going to be no matter if he shows up in this season or not.
Right. Just that he got name dropped at all.
Right. I love that he's maybe thinking of that in terms of, I want to create something that will nullify the force from ever being used on me again. Because last time we saw, that's the reason he lost, is because Ezra used the force on him and basically maneuvered him into a position that he would have been safe if the force was not involved.
Right.
So I love that idea. I'm a big fan of that.
It's also cool because that mirrors Mandalorians, in that Mandalorians were faced with, like, oh, we can't fight this thing that is the force. Like, we're fighting these people who have superpowers. Like, what do we do? And so they develop their armor and all their weapons and gadgets and fighting techniques to counteract it.
And, like, even then, though, too, of, like, think about that, like, that is a situation, like I said earlier, where Bo-Katan could be like, I could use this
right
to rebuild Mandalore, and no Jedi, nobody can mess with us then. And Din maybe has a little bit of a problem with that because it's like, right. No, I met a nice Jedi. Like, you know her too. Like, you shouldn't do this. I could see that situation play out.
Yeah. But it's a lot to think about there for sure, either way.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's got my mind working a lot. Okay. So like back to that original trilogy that Thrawn was in when it came out, that was set 5 years after Return of the Jedi. When is The Mandalorian set?
Like six. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close. I mean, I'm excited. I don't know. The finale is just a few days away, and then this will all be said and done until next year. Next December, Mac. It's going to be a little later next year.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like this year really kind of rushed up on us. So, you know, we'll have the opposite problem next time. We'll just be dying
as the year end. Yeah. The good thing is Adam Christopher's original Mandalorian novel will be out before then. So we're of course going to break that down on the podcast.
We will be like talking crazy about that. Yeah. In its entirety.
Yeah. So, super excited about that. Okay. So before we end this voicemail hotline, and if you've enjoyed this voicemail hotline, you can go over on the Patreon right now. Go to patreon.com/TheMandalorianWatch, and there's going to be another one just like this that we've done a bonus voicemail for every single episode this season. And if you would like just to pay $2 to access that, it's on the Patreon. So if you really want more Mando talk, make sure you go over there. But last thought for this episode before we get to our Patreon one, what are your, like, what is one crazy prediction you're going to give for the finale? Give me a crazy one, like out there.
Just like an absolute, like,
yes,
off the wall, like just my wildest dreams prediction. They have a mythosaur and Din has to learn how to ride it as part of the climactic fight.
I can't even imagine what brings them to that situation, but I love
it. You told me to speculate wildly, and I did.
I love that. Din needs a new rifle, by the way. His rifle was exploded in the Razor Crest. He needs a new ship too.
Yeah.
This is not a crazy prediction, but I think we're totally going to see a Darksaber on Beskar spear fight
That's a given, I feel like.
Here's my crazy prediction. The Mandalorian is going to throw the spear at Gideon, and Gideon's going to stop it using the Force. Or Grogu stops it, and Grogu is now with Gideon. Actually, no. As I say that, that sounds like awful to me. Please don't do that. Grogu being dark would be horrible, but I could see Gideon now having the Force.
That would be a great way to reveal that he now has the Force through the experiments they've been doing.
And I'm excited about the dark troopers too, like to see them in action.
To see them and see what's the big deal, what all the hubbub is about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
All right, so if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to go on our Patreon. You can get another one just like it. And if you can't, we understand, but we will be here on Friday to break down the season finale. Oh my gosh, here we go. Chapter 16 of The Mandalorian, and then season 2 is over.
It's crazy. I cannot believe it. We are going to wrap everything up with a nice little bow on Friday. That's wild.
A little Bo-Katan.
A little Bo-Katan, possibly. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll Maybe. See.
A little Boba Fett.
So. Cool.
All right. We need to wrap this up.
All right.
See y'all. Keep the watch.
Keep the watch.
Unforgotten tenderness, playing me with your ghostly kiss.